Hallelujah. Exciting days. My, has any faith increased in the last couple of days? That was one of the significant things last night that was a real blessing. I know a number of people, and this is what happened back home, is the increase in faith. And my own experiences, what has happened to me, I would say I would have to attribute mainly to faith. It hasn't been any necessarily discernment or anything that's extraordinary, but faith began to rise up, and I knew what we're up against and how to deal with it. And that makes all the difference. I'd like to mention just a couple of things before I really get into the testimony, because yesterday there were a number of people that asked me some things, and I just kept repeating the same thing over. And there was a number of questions, and I said I just do not answer those questions, because I believe that that's in the category that only your pastor should answer, because it has to do with certain specifics. And so I avoided some questions. And people wanted to be prayed for deliverance, a number of people. And they said, I just feel there's a need here and a need here and a need here. And I mentioned to I don't know how many different people, and this will include everyone, that back home that we did not just, you know, point out people and then ask them, you know, start praying for them for deliverance. We waited and asked them to pray and waited until God did something. And although we prayed for people and they've gotten deliverances without any manifestations or anything like that, but we, if we started praying with everybody that needed deliverance, we would just be bogged down because there's so many. But believe me, and I can say this with all kinds of confidence and faith, God will get to you. And it's not going to take long. What God has done in a month and a half in our church is unbelievable. And there's hardly anyone that has been excluded from it yet, and they're not going to be. One morning I had an experience when I was praying.
Real deliverance.
Phase that I've been circulating around back home, and I call it being caught between the porch and the altar. And some of you are familiar with in the book of Joel, in the second chapter, verse 17, it talks about the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weeping between the porch and the altar. Well, I don't know if that directly relates, but one day as I was praying, I felt like I was caught between the porch and the altar, and the glory and the presence of God just began to come down on me just in mighty ways. And I can remember something happening. I remember my faith taking off on me. And it just began to include the whole area around me. And it was just like I was being caught up in a whirlpool of some kind. And as I did, my faith just went out. And I saw people and I thought, is it possible that God could include them and they could rise up out of the unbelievable conditions they've been in for years? Is it possible? And there was a mix-up of my faith and the condition and things just all bubbling together. And when I came up out of it, faith overrode everything else. And I knew that God was going to include those people and those people and those people. And I've got faith that God is going to do something right now like we have wanted for a long time. So, and also, don't look to me. Please don't. I've come out here and I'm in submission to your pastor, and we know a few things. We know some experiences, but we're waiting upon God to give direction to my pastor and your pastor. And until we really get some of these things ironed out, there's a lot of questions, a lot of things I don't know what's going on. I'm experiencing things. And we're seeing deliverances. But in technical ways, I don't really know what's going on yet. I don't want to say that in such a way that it doesn't sound like we don't know. We do know a lot of things. But when we're dealing with these demonic forces, there are some questions that we have. But God has given us faith to take care of them anyway. You understand me? So I can explain that accurately. Okay. We've had a number of visions that have led up to what has happened back home, and phenomenal visions. And I'd just like to relate a couple of them. I may not get all of the points, but because they're so vital. And we had a lady that had a vision, and in the vision, she saw an area of quicksand and an area of, some land on one side, quicksand, and land on the other side, and it was kind of representing on one side was our church. And she saw me standing on the edge of the quicksand on this land, and the people of our church were around us, and some people were just sitting down, and some people were caught in these large bear traps type of structures. And I was running around frantically, trying to get people out of the traps to no avail, and we just couldn't seem to get them out of there. Their counseling didn't help them, and as we looked in the vision, across the quicksand, there was a large rope going. And on the other side of the quicksand, there were many ugly monsters and beasts that were standing out here that were just, trying to get at us. And about the time that I spotted them, I also saw this rope, and I realized that the rope was a way for them to get to us. And so I reached down and I began to tug on the rope to pull it away so they couldn't reach it. And as I did, one of those beasts began to grab it, and I was no match for him. And so my wife came up right behind me, and these are all significant things. And we began to pull, and we could out-pull him, but another beast grabbed it. And this thing went back and forth until everyone in the body that could stand up had a hold of the rope. But there were people caught in traps that couldn't help. I mean, they were bogged down with all of these traps, which turned out to be demonic forces. And so as we're fighting against these beasts, and we're being dragged right towards the quicksand, which would have been the end of us, and suddenly the Lord himself, or an angel of the Lord, appeared. And he came down right in front of me, and with one hand grabbed the rope, and he pulled all of those beasts into the quicksand, and they just went down. Well, anyway, we realize what has happened because God has opened a door to us back in Chippewa that's unbelievable. And we have it's just like all of a sudden the forces that have been holding back, have been keeping people from coming in, have been removed. And so we can really see it. Plus, suddenly, those that were in those traps have been set free. And liberty is coming in a glorious manner. And then the other vision, and both of these are significant because we're seeing that come to pass. The next vision that happened was I was seen standing in the front of our church. Apparently it was our church. And on the inside, it was just all white and just beautiful, but there was nobody in it. And on the outside of the church, there was a line of people that just went way down the street. And, of course, most of them were people from our church. And God had given to me the insight and the direction. I had the sword in one hand, and I had a branding iron or something in the other hand. And as I stood there, people were coming up, and they were getting deliverances. And of course, it doesn't mean that all of the deliverances have come through me, but it was just an indication that God was going to open a door to us back in Chippewa. And as we stood there, people began to come up to the front of the church, which is where I was standing, and the Spirit of the Lord was giving direction, and things began to happen. And there was cutting that was going on inside of people, and people started to bleed, and there was a kind of a gory situation. But as they would come up, there was a cutting process that was going on inside of them, and things were happening, and they were bleeding, and then they would be sent into other areas, and there would be healing that would take place. There was a period of time that was necessary. And anyway, it was one after another. People kept coming in, and as they went into the inside of this glorious building, they began to be joyful and happy and excited, and all of their cares were lifted off. Well, anyway, that vision, at first we didn't know what it was, but now we understand, because now we are seeing the result of the cutting of the Lord, as God has gone down into the vessels and removed demonic forces, removed hindering spirits, until it is just glorious. But those are two significant visions that I just wanted to mention. And we have been given, in the past, power by the Holy Spirit to overcome. But we didn't. And many of us haven't. But you know something? And I tell you, I have fallen so much in love with Jesus Christ. My life has been so transformed, and I've got such a thankfulness inside of me. Because I looked at it, here's the way I look at it. And I started to mention it the other night. I mentioned about the mercy and grace of God. You know, we should have been able to overcome. He's given us the authority. But he still found us in a place full of demonic forces and sin and all kinds of things. And his mercy is such that even though we should have been able to do it, he's extended another outreach and another help to us. And we are seeing it happen in a tremendous way. We should have been able to drive out the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites and those demonites. But we haven't done it. We have been very successful in praying and rebuking these spirits, and God's going to get to everyone. That's the point. God begins to move upon people, and things begin to happen. There's a couple comments if I might make. Before there's a number of things I know that I just wrote them down here so I could remember it. When people are praying for deliverance, it's important, and I don't know what might happen between now and Monday night. But it's important that a number of people don't all begin to give orders at the same time. And some of you were frantic yesterday, not knowing what to do. But there should be one individual, mainly, at this time that just, you know, gives the direction so that there's not a confusion, because we can lose some of these things without it. Okay, I would like to share some of the things, and I may repeat some of the things that I mentioned Friday night that has happened back in Wisconsin. But in the last year, we have gone through many, many types of things back in our church. We've experienced some disappointments. We've experienced discouragement. Some of the people that were caught up in the revival a year ago all of a sudden begin to slide away, and they just become hardened. And I thought, it can't be. How can it be after experiencing all of these things? But it did happen. As a matter of fact, we have several that have not even come into this yet, that are still back, you know, fighting against what God is trying to do. They're afraid, though, believe me, because they've heard what's happening. They're afraid of it. And I began really to seek the Lord, and I said, Lord, it's just, what a shame that it would be after all of these glorious things that people have experienced, and then for us to lose out on this thing. And I can remember, you know, just the kind of the panicky feeling, and, you know, and some of you maybe felt the same. And so I began to wait on the Lord night after night after night, and people begin to pray for me. And I can remember, you know, at first it was such a difficult struggle just to have anything happen. And it was just a labor just to sit there, you know, just in the presence of the Lord and not really do much of anything. But I made up my mind. I said, Lord, I'm just going to stay here until something happens. That's what I'm going to do. And we just prayed and prayed and prayed, and something began to build inside of me. And I think that's important, no matter how many times we repeat it, because, you know, sometimes we get discouraged because we wait in the presence of the Lord and nothing happens. But if we wait long enough, it will happen. If we just wait in His presence and just don't panic and don't, you know, because God is the one that is going to do this. God is doing this whole thing. We're not doing it. God is. And so as I waited in His presence, things begin to happen, building up to the night when these deliverances started, which has changed the course of my life. And I can remember that incident. I mean, that's something I'll never forget. And I can remember just in the church, and we were just having a glory time, and we were just praying for one another, and my wife and I felt impressed to pray with a couple. We were just having a real enjoyable time in the presence of the Lord. And suddenly, I got a call to come and to pray with somebody that was having trouble. And I didn't, at that time, I had no idea what kind of trouble it was. You know, I mean, just like some of you that you know, you saw your first deliverance maybe yesterday or saw some manifestations or something, and you're not really sure what it's like until you see it. And I came up behind this lady in our church, which is a precious woman, and as I did, I realized I was looking right into the face of somebody else. It wasn't her. And I've heard of these things, but I couldn't really accept it. You know what I mean? Don has talked about things like this, and other people, and I've read books on it and stuff, but I couldn't accept it until I looked into the face of somebody that was really under the influence of another force. And as I looked into her face, and I sat there, and she began to rebuke me. This force began to rebuke me. And it didn't say very nice things. It really didn't. And it told me what it thought of me, and it told me that, you know, it said, okay, here I am, what are you going to do? And like I mentioned the other night, it was obvious to me, you know, what am I going to do? It's a hopeless situation, and I was completely, you know, confused and really ready to run if I could have had a chance, if there had been an opening. People were gathered around me, so I couldn't. And anyway, and as I was praying and trying to get help, and nothing was coming, and I can remember that's probably one of the most frustrating experiences of my life. And someone, and my brother and his wife, came up behind me, and they laid hands on me and began to pray for me. And as they did, I experienced something. Now, some here yesterday experienced that. And I know Stuart Hansen, I believe, and a couple of other people, as they were praying, they experienced, all of a sudden, an unusual anointing, discernment, and direction like they've never experienced before. Well, I can relate to that, because that's what happened to me. And suddenly, I knew what I was facing, demonic forces that have come against us, and God began to deliver them, one after another. And I can remember, and that has changed the course of my life, because faith came out of that. Authority came out of it. My life has been transformed. I've wanted to serve God like this for 15 years. And I find myself now consumed by the Spirit, day after day, on an exciting basis. And we've thought a couple of times of getting away a little bit, and for a couple of days I can't. Because I want to be right in the middle of this thing, when we're in war. Hey, we've discovered the enemy. God has forced him to come out, and now we've got to take advantage of it. And while we're on his heels, drive him out of the land. My. As we were praying for this woman, a number of interesting things happened. Now, I have always had a personality where I'm kind of light in some things and kidding in some things. A lot of you maybe that know me have known that. And anyway, kind of minor joking things. Not critical, not meaning to be. But since that time, I have learned, and that has been taken away from me. My life has become serious. It's not anything to fool around with. And that night, some humorous things were said as these spirits began to mock. And they said funny things, you know, as they came out. And people began to laugh, and they, you know, they're kind of joking about it. And one of the spirits said, I'm not coming out, you know, and somebody made a comment, and they said, well, you'll have to come out, and don't let the door hit you as it goes or something. You know, just a light-hearted comment. But I didn't see anything funny. I really didn't. Because suddenly I realized we're in war, brothers and sisters, and we are on the side of the winning, you know, conqueror. That's where we're at. We can't lose it, and now that we've discovered our enemy, we've got to make sure that he's completely removed from the land. And anyway, there was an interesting thing that happened. I got to comment on this because, I mean, there's a number of things that I want to mention about our experiences. But we were praying. We started about 10 o'clock at night, about 10 when the Spirit of the Lord really began to move upon us. And about midnight, one of the men that in the church works from 3 to 11, and he's been coming to the prayer meetings, you know, at 11:30 or 12 o'clock when he gets off from work and catching the last, glory times or whatever's there. And he happened to walk in, and I can remember that, and he won't mind if he hears us on the tape, he won't mind hearing about it. And he just walked in, you know, and he was just as happy and so forth as he could be, and, you know, just ready to get into a good prayer meeting. And we were all gathered around this woman, and he didn't know what was going on. And anyway, and he walked up, kind of right up to where, he was looking her right in the face. And all of a sudden, this voice comes out and says, "What are you doing here?" And he sat there, and you can imagine your own situation. And then it began to tell him what she thought of him. And see, he didn't know anything about what was going on. And we had to talk to him afterwards. The poor fellow. My. That was a real, you know, a real shocker. And as I was praying and the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, and I began to look and I saw an individual here that couldn't look at me because there was a force that was hindering that individual, and another individual, and another individual. And out of that night, that first night, there were 15 people that stayed. Now, many people left. And this is really something. Because as we started to pray, and as this we were dealing with this, all of the rest of the people in the body, for who knows what reason, left. And it left us with just, I believe, the right ones. And the Lord knows what he's doing. And it built faith, and many of those are being used in deliverance now. And many of those were set free, you know, out of the situation. And the first individual that I saw, a couple of nights later, she was really having problems. And so I went up to her and I said, "Why don't you come over in the morning?" And I believe I mentioned this the other night. And she came over to the house the next morning, afraid. I mean, just really shaking tremendously. And my wife and I took her in our office and we began to pray with her. And she began to slide right off the chair, but she just couldn't even hang on to it anymore. She was just extremely afraid, and it was a intense fear, a spirit of fear that was upon her. And as we begin to deal with this spirit of fear, and it began to speak to us, and it went back into all kinds of areas of fear that God had to deal with. And then we went through another area, and then another area, and that was our second situation. And as soon as we got through with that one, we began to deal with another individual. And, you know, and some of the things were real manifestations. There were voices that spoke to us. Some of them, there weren't voices, but there were some of the things that we saw yesterday where the lips were tight and the eyes, you know, become funny. And the result of these forces. Now, my wife and I and those in the deliverance ministry at home have seen this thing repeated 40 times, 50 times maybe. And you're going to see it repeated probably a lot more than we have. But we begin to learn a lot of things about how these forces have been working against us. And people have been delivered of insecurities. And insecurity is, believe me, we have learned that is a big one. People are so insecure. And if I were to ask for a show of hands right now how many people have felt a real insecurity, I would say that it would probably be the majority of the people. And even some yet are just, there's an insecurity. They don't feel secure, and women especially, because they have been given the, you know, their desire is to be under their husband, you know, as a security. And as a result of it, the enemy attacks in areas of security, which is, we can understand. And since women are to be in submission to their husbands, there's a lot of rebellion in that has been dealt with over and over and over. And even though we don't like to admit some of these things, it is prominent, believe me. It is just unbelievable. We have had so many women in our body that have been dealt with in areas of rebellion, you know, and insecurities. And one of my experiences, and I'm going to relate a number of them, was with one of our women that I knew, you know, by discernment, I knew that she had a spirit of rebellion. Now, nobody wants to have that, especially women. I mean, you don't want to be rebellious. You don't want to admit to it, and it's not comfortable. And she didn't. And I said, there's a spirit of rebellion. And she said, I just can't believe that. You know, it's like some of our other testimonies that we heard last night. I'll get back to that in a second. Somebody said, we were dealing with a spirit of, with a lion spirit. And that thing, it just kept lying to us and lying to us. And somebody said, well, what do you expect it to do? You know, some woman said, I really doubted that I had a spirit of doubt. You know. Well, this woman didn't want to admit, or she couldn't understand that she had a spirit of rebellion. And so we dealt with it, and nothing happened. Now, this is important. And the next time we got together, I knew it was there, and I dealt with it again. Nothing happened. We could not get this thing to manifest itself in any way. And so a few days later or a week later, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw myself before this woman and praying for her, and I saw her delivered of the spirit of rebellion. And so, I mean, I woke up right at the end of the dream. And somebody else had a dream the same night about the same situation, would you believe? Identical. And so the next, when she came over then, and I began to minister to her, and I said, there's a spirit of rebellion. And she said, I can't believe that. I just don't, it just doesn't seem like there could be. I'm just not rebellious. And so, anyway, I said, but it's there, and we're going to deal with it. And we started ministering to it, and suddenly it broke loose, and the rebellion started to come out. And, I mean, it was a real manifestation. And God has given us some of these things. A dream was given so that this woman could be delivered. We've had one of our ladies in the church that was delivered through a dream, in a dream. She saw herself, you know, here's the person here, and then here's her person again. Only this one is not the same. They don't look the same. And she finds herself facing this other one that looks like her. Only there's something evil about it. And she realizes that this is a spirit. And in her dream, she begins to rebuke this spirit. And as she does, the spirit gets smaller and smaller and smaller until it's gone. I believe that's accurate. And she woke up delivered of that thing. So the Lord's doing it. It's not people. And we're beginning to understand that. We've gone, you know, we've gone from situation to situation, and we have not set up anything. We've just said, and I've asked people to do this, and I think this is really important. God's going to deliver everybody. And what we need to do is to ask the Lord to set up our own deliverance. See, we're not healed till we're healed. We're not delivered till we're delivered. And we know that. And we can, you know, if we're not delivered and we know we're not delivered, then we need to seek the Lord until we are delivered. And we've asked people to ask the Lord to set up their own deliverance. I mean, just pray until they're free, because God wants us free. And it has been working just tremendously. And we've had a situation one night on a Friday night, and I asked people to pray about it. And, you know, pray for their deliverances so that the Lord could have this thing set up. And as we did, there were a number of people that responded, and they believed what I said. And so they began to pray for it, and on Saturday morning we were over at the church, and we were ministering to a number of people that wanted deliverance, and a man came in in response to this. And anyway, as he came into the church, and he came up to the front, and this man is a mild-mannered man, and he's just polite and gentle. As he came up to the front of the church, His eyes were angry. And I looked him in the face. I thought, I don't know what he's got in mind, but I don't like the looks of it. And so we had another couple go and begin to minister to him. And they prayed for him for quite a while, and my wife and I were scheduled to go someplace in the afternoon, about 1:30 or so. And so, or 2 o'clock, I guess. And so at 2 o'clock, my wife and I went into the room where they were praying with this man, and they tried this and tried that and prayed for this, prayed for all of these things. And as we came up to him, and I looked him in the face, and I asked him, how are you doing? And he said, I guess so. He said, I feel okay. And I looked at him in the face, and I said, if you had something, you'd start hitting people, wouldn't you, if you had a club? And he says, yeah, I probably would. See, the thing was still there. And because it was very evident, there was a hatred, in the eyes, and there was something that was developing. And so we began to deal with this thing, and we found the source of it, and we were there at 7 o'clock that night. And I started to talk about this Friday night. And we were there with this man who suddenly, because we found the source of the demonic force, the man, all of a sudden, his body went into convulsions. He began to shake just uncontrollably. And he was shaking so much so that we tried to hold his hand, and I couldn't hold it. I mean, I couldn't hold it very long. I could for a little while, but, I mean, not hold it still, because my body was shaking with it. There was such force inside. And we were there till 7 o'clock that night. We had to cancel an appointment. But out of this came a mighty deliverance in this man. We've had people that were delivered of things like where they've been hiding smoking, deceitfulness, and some of these things. And they could not overcome their smoking habit. And there was actually a demonic force that we discovered that was there, that was holding them back and just putting a nicotine spirit or something. I'm not even sure what we dealt with. And they've been trying to fight this thing, and then they've had to hide it, and then guilt comes in, and all of the things that come along with it. And she was completely delivered of this thing, just like that. And there's been not even a desire since. And in the areas of rebellion and in the areas of submission, I have watched as some of the most phenomenal things have happened that, as a pastor and wanting to see my families just, just wanting to see their lives transformed and wanting to see unity and the family structure proper, there's a hurt. You just feel almost hopeless sometimes when you see a family and you know the potential they have. I mean, if the husband and wife could get in the proper relationship and the children and so forth, you know that they could take the kingdom. They could go against the kingdom of the enemy. That's what I meant to say. They could just walk all over the devil if they just had things in order. And there could be a lot of amens here, I'm sure, in that respect. Because Satan is out to destroy the family unit, if he can. And so the big area that he hit is wives' submission to their husbands. And we discovered that there were a lot of our husbands that had unlimited spiritual potential down inside. They could come up and, they had abilities and things that were inside of them, except because their wife could not understand submission and could not come to a real point of submission, their hands were tied. And as God began to move upon the women of our body, and it started mainly with women, although men have moved into the deliverances as well, but as they got delivered of insecurities, which caused rebellions, as they got delivered of rejections, which caused other things, or whatever that it might be, especially rebellions and in insubmission in some of these areas, I watched something unfold underneath me that has got to be one of the most glorious things I've ever experienced. I watched the men with their hands untied start to stand up and the Spirit of God begin to come upon them, and I've seen things happen that are glorious. Plus, the women are learning some valuable things. We have not understood submission. I haven't myself. One of the clues that I really got to what God wanted to do was in that tape that we received, as Don mentioned, about wives submitting to their husbands and the importance of it. And like I mentioned, we had one woman in the church that listened to that tape 34 times. And it really gave her a picture of it. But as the women are getting a real understanding of submission, and I mean submission, real submission, in their attitudes, in the looks of their eyes, in their expressions, in the way they walk. I mean, all of these things that husband that a woman doesn't think is really is watching too close and isn't really aware of all the things that's going on, he never misses a thing. Is that right, husbands? A husband can read every action that his wife makes. And so a wife, just by her emotional makeup, and just the way she looks out of the corner of her eye, just the way she walks out the door and slams it a little bit extra hard, a husband can spot likes and dislikes, and he is moved by her emotional makeup. And so a woman can be in control of her husband and never even realize it. And I tell you, we begin to get revelations in this area that, you know, and as the wives got deliverance and began to submit, really submit, you know, I told our women back home that, you know, we are to lose ourselves in Christ to find new life. And a wife is to lose herself in her husband. Now, that may sound strong, and that may rile some inward little thing in there. If we do, that's what we need to deal with. Glory. But as these things have been happening, as the wives have been coming into places of submission, the testimonies and the church services, and when we left Friday night, we left early Saturday morning, but our Friday night service, that had to be one of the most glorious services I've ever been in. People were hugging one another, and they were crying, and they were just laughing, and we just had a time like you can imagine it would be next to heaven. Next to it. We've had some fabulous deliverances without no real manifestations. We've had all kinds of different areas that we've dealt with. We've had voices speaking to us out of I don't know how many different people. We've had people that have gotten up as we started praying with them and started to run. And this is real exciting. And because you don't know where they're going to go. And this has happened to, see, these are all exceptions, but yet it's happened to, you know, like three or four people here and three or four people here. And one night, I received a call in the middle of the night, and a woman was just, she says, it sounds like, I almost feel like I can hear voices down inside. And it's really disturbing me. And she says, and I want to scream. And I, you know, just this thing is just tearing me apart. And of course, I'd only got an hour of sleep by the time I got the call. And so I asked her, I said, well, can I call you in the morning? And she said, well, sure, I'll be okay. And so in the morning, we woke up early and we got an emergency. And while we're at that emergency, we got another emergency. I mean, this has been happening back home. I mean, God has opened the door and we've just gone from one to the next, to the next, to the next, and we've been busy. And so I forgot about her. I mean, you know, I didn't mean to, but I did. And so anyway, we got word that they were wanting, you know, she still wanted to get deliverance. And so that night, late, about 9 o'clock or so, we ended up at another house where there were a number of people that really hadn't seen any of this yet. And they were all sitting around the kitchen table, and as I talked to her and I asked her, I said, how are you doing? And she said, well, I'm doing fine now. It really doesn't, you know, the things bothered me, but I'm really in a better condition. And I said, well, let's go in the living room and we'll pray about it anyway. I mean, you know, let's find out what's still there. And so we went in and we sat on the floor in the living room and you know, it was just kind of an unusual thing. And I just laid my hand on her shoulder and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if there's anything here, we want to know what it is and just cause a reaction, cause it to manifest itself. And she came up swinging. And many, many comments and things that were, you know, that came out. And we had to, I said, grab her. I mean, the last thing we need is somebody running down through the neighborhood with all of us after her. And so, anyway, and she shared this testimony. This is public information. And anyway, and so then we began to deal, you know, with this force and then that force and that force. And that young lady had a tremendous deliverance. And Sid and Arlene Simonson, Terry Berry's father, have really been used in this deliverance ministry. God has really done something there, and God has given them a real direction, and their relationship has just been so excellent. I mean, just a tremendous thing. And just an incident. See, we have people coming from other churches now that want deliverance, and you're going to be experiencing the same thing. And I don't know what the pastors are going to think. Some of them are a little excited about it. But we have people in other churches sending them to our church. And anyway, I was at one of our meetings one night at church, just before the prayer meeting, and I was talking to Sid. And I asked him, I said, well, how did the prayer meeting go today? Were there any deliverances? Or, you know, and he said, oh, we had several real, just tremendous deliverances. And I said, well, anything exciting? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, we got some real reactions, and people were set free. And then I asked him, there was a woman I knew was coming from another church. And I asked him, I said, how did it go with her? What happened? And he said, oh, my. He said, we had to chase her all over the house. And so, anyway, you know, there haven't been a lot of these things, but these things do happen. And sometimes as people have, you know, all of a sudden they become forceful and there's a real strength that is, you know, in people as these forces move upon them that are unbelievable in some cases. Sometimes we've commanded them not to do anything and they've done it. Sometimes we've tried to command them and it didn't help, you know, depending on the nature of the thing, because it's just the muscles of the body are, it seems to be that these forces somehow can control the muscles. And with Patsy Ryder, for instance, a lot of you know her, and in her testimony, I don't know if I mentioned it the other night, but as she was laying on the floor, and there was, you know, this one of these forces was being exposed and was manifested, and it was in the process of coming out, and there was a man that was sitting on her legs, and the man is a large man. I mean, he's tall and he's heavy, and at least 250 pounds, and he's sitting on her feet, holding her feet down. And I mean, they've got four or five people holding her down, or I don't know where she would have went. And she lifted him right up off the floor, boom, like that, and scared him and made a believer out of it. In a hurry. And we've got a lot of people that have become believers in the last month and a half. And we've seen other people that have just, as these forces, you know, are being manifested, that have just done unbelievable things, and where their hands have been clenched. And this seems to be something that is unbelievable. But the hands become so tight on a young lady that weighs 100 pounds that two men can't open it. I've tried it. I have strong hands. And I've tried to open a hand, and I couldn't get it open. Impossible. Without tearing the fingers off. I mean, just that kind of a thing. We haven't had any serious injuries. A couple scratches and some out of disorder for a while. But we have had some mighty deliverances, and it keeps on coming. When this thing with Patsy, and as she was being delivered of this force, and this man was sitting on her feet, and this voice kept coming out and says, get that big ape off of me. And anyway, you know, some of those humorous things, and that really struck a chord. People have wondered, what do I do and how do I know, you know, at times, if I'm getting near a deliverance? I mean, what are some of the indications? And I think maybe that, like, either tonight or Monday night, as Don shares some of these things, maybe, you know, if we have an opportunity to talk about some of the things. But there's obvious things that have happened back home. You know, we haven't just said, you know, somebody said, well, I need a deliverance, and we prayed for them, and we rebuked it, and there have been times when we knew that something happened, and without any manifestations, and they were free. But we haven't had too many. And we've told people, if we rebuke them in this way and nothing happens, you keep on praying until you get free, because we're going to be free indeed. We're going to be clear of these things. And so anyway, as they've begun to pray, things have begun to happen inside. And I just encourage you to be looking for tightness, and be looking for anger, and be looking for intense fear. We've had a lot of that, where all of a sudden people are afraid. They're afraid to come to church, and they're afraid to look at the pastor, and they're afraid to face people. And there's, you know, all of these things begin to build up inside. And we've discovered that the majority of these things are demonic. And once people are dealt with in an area of fear, and that thing leaves, there's no more fear. There's another thing that we've noticed that is really remarkable, is the ability to look one another in the eye. Have you ever noticed how some people, they just can't seem to look somebody else in the eye? After these deliverances, there has been a tremendous ability in people. And you can go up to people and you can look them in the eye, and there's just nothing there. The devil can't find anything there anymore. Or not much anyway. It's being removed. We've had We've seen, not so much myself, but people have seen myriads of angels. Tremendous things that have, they've seen angels hovering above our house while we're in the process of deliverance. Not just one, but a number of people have seen it. They've seen angels that have gathered around other houses where people have been delivered. And in one house, they said there was 12 of them. There were three on each side. And these things were large enough, and they were standing hand to hand until they enclosed the entire house. And children have been seeing angels in the church, and because adults have too. And I mean, they've described them. I mean, they didn't say with wings and stuff, but they described, you know, these large, shining, people. They look like people, but they were shining and all white, and, you know, different descriptions of them. And one little girl saw one, and she said it was 38 feet tall. But she's only about 4. And we discovered that everything that she sees is 38 feet tall. So, in one of our experiences where a woman was being delivered, or a husband or wife, I can't remember which one it was, right outside of the house, there was an explosion that just rocked the house. And I've hesitated before. After last night and the last couple of days, I'll share these things. Before, I wouldn't. I've got witnesses. But there was this explosion outside of the house that the house just rocked. And then just a few seconds later, there's another explosion the same way, and the house just rocked. And they went out and looked, you know, and I mean, it was right next to the house. They could tell that. And they didn't see anything, so they continued with the deliverance or whatever else was going on. But here's what happened. Their poor dog went about a half a mile away and sat on somebody's porch, and they couldn't bring him home. They couldn't get they just had to force the dog. They got him home, but it really scared them. And Patsy Ryder, in her deliverance, that one that I mentioned when she was laying on the floor, she had an experience. And as I was on my way from one to the next one, I knew before I got there what it was that was troubling her. And it was a forceful spirit, and we've become aware of, there's a number of them, and we've had some that we know that have been sent by the devil, especially to destroy our church. There are satanic forces that have been sent against us. And there were some that were sent there, and as some of them have spoke, they said that. Now, you can't always believe them. As a matter of fact, the policy is don't believe a thing they say unless you can, you know, scripturally or if you know it by discernment, because they'll lie to you. But they've said, we've been sent there to destroy the church. And anyway, in this deliverance, in this situation, as we begin to deal with this force, and, you know, I'm leaning over and there's just a real panicky thing going on inside, and, you know, and there's the tenseness like we saw yesterday in several people. And all of a sudden, there's just a scream, you know, just something happened and begin to come out. And as I looked down at her, you know, and it's just this fearful scream and just an ear-piercing scream. And afterwards, what had happened was this force was refusing to come out. And as she looked up, she didn't see me, but she looked past me and she saw an angel standing on either side. And she saw Jesus up above somewhere. I was out of the picture entirely. And he was giving directions to these angels. And they were doing, as she knew by the expression on their faces, they were doing exactly what he told them to do. Every order he gave them, they commanded, and they did just exactly. And they each had a flaming sword. And this force was embedded, you know, it was inside somewhere. And she saw each angel bring this flaming sword. And as the sword began to pierce down inside, is when she screamed. And immediately she was delivered. It was gone. I mean, we've had some real remarkable things. There's just a lot of, you know, people have seen even some of the demonic forces. We've had people that have tried to kick people, tried to bite. And that's, you know, I mean, that's not, people don't do that. I mean, not Christians. And so it really opened our eyes to some of these things. And choke other, you know, tried to choke people, and they tried all kinds of things, and no one's got hurt. The Lord hasn't allowed that. I mean, God has been there, and his angels have been there, and we've had prophecies and things where it said, where God has said, and I believe Didn't we have a prophecy the other night concerning that? That God and the angels were going to be ministering. You know, the angels were going to be ministering with the saints in deliverances. And we have got a lot of evidence of that. If we had to face these forces just in the natural, we would be defeated. But you know, we've been trying to do that for a long time. I have been trying to face them in unbelief. I've come up so many times and I've tried to pray with somebody and I knew there was a problem, maybe there was anger or something. And I've tried to I've said the spirit of anger, if that's what it is, come out. You know how much effect that has? You know, the enemy knows if there's one there too. He's aware of it. I'm not fooling anybody. But now it's different. Because faith has come up and we know what we're dealing with. And now those forces are exposed and we stick with them till they're gone. And they leave. And if they don't leave the first time, we regroup and we attack again. We'll get them. We've had some other experiences, like a lady as she was being prayed for, and there was people. It seems like sometimes they'll go back and forth. There's a force talking, and then there's a person talking, and those involved in some of the deliverances yesterday are familiar with what I'm talking about. And one of those times when we were talking to her, and we knew we were. She said, I keep seeing an angel, and the angel's got a hole, and there's this object that's inside of me, and every time she would be screaming, and every time, when she'd be screaming like that, this hole was down in there, and it was hoeing out this enemy, and she could see this, and one of the women that I laid hands on, and if I get any of these incidents that are a little bit far out, I'm going to ask Don to explain them, and so they don't get... Some of them get pretty bad. But anyway, I was laying my hands on a woman and we were praying for a force and I could feel it in the head. And I put my hand on the forehead like this and there was a swirling going on. And it was just like my hand over some kind of an object that was moving. And it was a real funny experience, you know. And afterwards we asked her what happened or anything. And she said she could see a whirlpool of blood, it looked like to her. And this thing was up there, and it was going around and around and around, and she just went through a period of confusion, and it left, and her mind cleared right up, just like that. And so, we have been through a lot of different experiences, where these forces have been lodged in the muscles. We've seen angels with swords. Jesus has been, a number of times they've seen him standing, giving orders in vision and things. And people, we've been called some of the most unbelievable things, country bumpkins. These forces have said that they've known for a long time that God was going to begin in that church and out here, and that God was going to be removing those forces, and they have been really getting frantic. I mean, we've heard things like that. I believe that's true. I mean, I don't believe much they say, but I believe that's true. And they said that they've known it was coming. And they've begged, some of these things have begged for time. And they said, can't you just leave us here a little while? Just trying to stall or anything else. But there's something down inside of me and something inside of our church. And I know that the hour is coming and is so close that God is wanting to have that army, that we can't waste any time. And there's a force down inside of me that has put me on the, what's the word I want? Offensive, yes. I'm going to, it's just like there's a thing there that says, don't stop till every one of them's out. Don't be fooled by some of them that come along and say, well, we're from a far country, we're not going to do any damage. Don't be fooled by it. Get the discernment of the Lord, the direction of the Lord, until every single force is removed out of our midst. My, it's exciting. And I think that we've only begun to see what we're going to see. And the next thing that God has given me is faith in the next waves that are coming. And on the heels of this thing, I know, is going to come healing and miracles and signs and wonders. And one night, as I was praying, and the presence of God just was coming upon me, one of those porch and altar experiences, and as I was in this thing, I began to see the church. This church that was full of faith, without demonic forces, that was free and just victorious, that instead of being one Smith Wigglesworth, or instead of being one William Branham, or instead of being one of whatever these other people that have been of the past with great faith and with miracles and signs and wonders, God is going to have multitudes of them. All of them are going to be like that. And I knew that. I knew that was coming. And that's where we're at. It's right on the heels. And let our faith arise. Because we've only begun to see what God has. Glory.
The Lord, I am so thankful for what God is doing. I'm thankful that He's beginning to open our spiritual eyes that we might see. And I felt that maybe I should share just a couple of things because I feel like that they're so very, very important. And that is, and I want to just say one thing before I say what I came up here to say, to give you just a bit of background so maybe you'll have faith in what I'm about to say. Because I have seen the gift of discernment of spirits in operation now for many years, and I have seen the personalities of these demons, and as I am seeing them expressed, they match exactly that which I have seen in the spirit for years, as far as expression and their personalities and their attitudes and things like that. And so because of that, so many people have such a fear because they have a spirit of insecurity. But I want to tell you that that demon of insecurity is one of the most frightened demons. He is just what his name is. He is very, very, very insecure. And he is one of the easiest demons to get out because he is so terribly insecure. His whole personality is completely insecure. And so he gets terribly insecure around God. See, and I mean, he just quivers. And he gets scared and he just gets a pouty look and he just, See, because he is so insecure. So when he's manifested, it's just insecurity. And so every one of you have enough faith where you stand right now today to get rid of that demon of insecurity. And same with the demon of rejection. He feels so rejected. I mean, his whole personality is just nothing but rejection. Just total rejection. You don't have to fear getting rid of him. You just exercise faith and he can be gone. He is nothing but just rejection. See? So it's not hard for God to reject him at all. And it's not hard for you to reject him. Now you see, he wants to manifest this rejection in you and cause you to feel rejected. That's not you. That's the demon. See? And so when you realize, oh, you know, all this rejection I'm feeling, that's how he feels. See how easy it'd be to reject something like that? Same with the spirit of fear. That spirit of fear, my, is he afraid. I mean, he is really afraid. You don't have to fear getting rid of that demon of fear. You have enough faith. In your mind, you see, when these demons are reacting through you, if they should, you need to keep your mind centered upon God and you be releasing faith. You have plenty of faith right in there to get rid of them. And don't you accept their reaction through you as being yours. You keep yourself divorced from it. Don't you react to it. Don't let your soul react to it. Don't let your spirit react to it. Don't let your mind react to it. You keep your mind centered in faith. And at that time, that's when you need to end your... And even if this demon should try to take control and manifest himself so that you can't speak, you need to keep your mind centered in faith. In your mind, you need to be rejecting him. In your mind, you need to be saying, yes, Lord, you are the victory. You demon, you're scared to death, and that's why you're hovering around my vocal cord so much, and I know that you are powerless. And you keep saying that over and over and over again in your mind if you're in a place where you can't say it verbally. Now, also, I feel that it's really important that there's no panic. Because we have complete authority, and even if you should notice some kind of a reaction in your body that these demons are displaying, that is no reason for panic. And so don't you, as a person, get involved in what's happening in your body. And so I feel like that those things are really important. And you know, there's one other area that really concerns me. And so maybe I can just share this with you. And that is, see, years ago on two different occasions, I saw people who had a light spirit when demons were being dealt with. And I saw that one demon go right to that other individual. And all of a sudden, they started screaming in terror. You see, because they left themselves open. They were not taking these things with a holy attitude and with a reverence. And they were laughing and making light and joking about the manifestation or something, see? And I remember one incident who was a friend of ours, used to come out to the farm with my brother. And this was during the latter rain revival. And he came to a service with my brother who was backslidden at the time. And he started to joke about the service. And all of a sudden, we heard a thump at the back of the church, and that man, he was in the area, see, that there was room there, and he fell just headlong down like that and laid there like a board. You know, I mean, see, if that were you there being delivered and that demon was having some reaction in you, would you appreciate having people all around there releasing faith, believing God, taking the victory with a serious, sober attitude? Or would you want them there laughing, joking, giggling, talking to one another about it? You see, we can get a lot faster deliverances if we can have unity, a purpose of heart and mind, and plus then we can protect ourselves from allowing these demons then to come and attack us. Because we're there in that holy, protected, reverent place before the Lord. And I think it's just really important that we recognize that. And if you're experiencing fear and so forth, then you're not the one to come up, lay hands on somebody else, or watch that going on, you know. You're better off to get away with the Lord and wait upon God and begin to receive faith and strength and help from the Lord rather than coming up there and getting involved in it. I just wanted to say those things because I feel like that these are so important. I don't want to see one person get delivered and another person be attacked by that demon because he's not keeping himself in that holy, reverent attitude.
Let's see, two things very quickly, and we're going to take a break. One is, back in the Latter Rain Revival time, the ministers were all talking about this particular case. Well, there was a skeptic. He did not believe that these things were really demons. He believed that this thing was just psychosomatic and drummed up and all this type of thing. And he was a minister. And he was, as I remember it, some of the things are kind of foggy in my mind now. But he was mocking in any way, some way, deriding this whole thing. And in front of the whole auditorium and the ministers, an unseen force drug him across the platform. This was a platform of the building. It was a splintery platform. And he was just collecting splinters all the way across that whole platform. He drug him in full length. He never did that again. See, we're dealing with really unseen forces, powerful forces. And you don't play around when you really come in the presence of them. And in the book of Jude, the scripture says that Michael, in disputing against the devil over the body of Moses, dare not bring writing accusation against him. So he just forgot the whole thing. No. He said, the Lord rebuke you. He still did warfare with him. He still fought with him. There are some Christians who like to just forget the whole thing. You cannot forget the whole thing. If you forget the whole thing, he will bring you right down to hell. He will capture you completely. You cannot evade the warfare. But you've got to recognize the warfare that is really there. Brother Stu, what we're going to do is this, because we're a little bit late on time.